You're listening to the Professional Goddess Podcast,
a place for sluts who like to make money. I'm your host, Anna D, aka the Professional Goddess. On my show, we embrace the uncensored stories of being a self-made slutpreneur. As a stripper turned CEO, I reveal all my juicy trade secrets and share interviews with other female bosses who capitalize on their entire existence. From breaking stigmas in the female business world to challenging norms in the adult industry, we'll tackle it all. In 6-inch stilettos, of course. Now it's time to dive deep into the journey of self-empowerment, owning our sexuality, and by each episode, we will earn our PhDs in CE hoetry. I'm honored to have you here, and it's my privilege to kickstart the show. How to start a business. 11 steps to launch your company. I felt like we needed a little refresh because from time to time, people ask me, how did you get started? And starting a business now is totally different than it was back in 2011 for me. So I found this amazing little blog on Shopify.com. If you guys don't know, I use Shopify for all three, maybe four of my web stores, and they are the best in the game. They have so many apps that you can connect to make your store function exactly how you want. They have great pricing for beginners. And I was browsing through this blog and I was like, this is actually like needs to be spoken into the microphone. So if you have kind of thought about starting your business, or maybe you're more intrigued at the steps needed to launch a company, then keep listening, because maybe you have a brilliant product idea and you're just looking to build a future on your terms. Whatever it is, you're in the right place. So this guide will walk you through starting a business from pre-launch to first sale. So being your own boss starts with the decision to make the big leap. If you've found that you've already taken the first step, that you've fought over fear and found freedom on the other side, congratulations. Now you're ready to learn how to start a business from scratch. So where do we begin? Whether you have this brilliant product idea or you just want the freedom to like have life on your terms and not answer to a boss, then this is for you, because this guide's going to walk through starting the business, especially from the pre-launch marketing to the first sale, because sometimes before you even have something for sale, you need a little buzz. So there are hundreds of business ideas. There's actually helpful tools to managing your day-to-day when opening an online store. So I'm going to include this little guide to return to if you need to hold yourself accountable and need even more tips to stay organized. So there's going to be a lot of links in the description of this episode, including the blog we are referring to. So the 11 steps we're going to go through is 1, discovering your big idea, 2, research your product and audience, 3, calculate your startup costs, 4, source products, 5, figure out your shipping strategy, 6, develop a brand strategy and brand identity, 7, build and launch your website, 8, register your business, 9, manage your money, 10, market your business, and 11, grow your business. So let's start with 1, discovering the big idea. It all begins with an idea. So to hone in on that idea, it's important to know what kind of business and lifestyle you want to have. Are you looking to sell existing products as a low-lift side gig? Do you want to go all in on an invention that's going to change the fucking world? Or is your social media audience the perfect place to launch your personal brand's merchandise? Try fleshing out your idea to see how engaged you are with the idea. You can use a free business plan template to help you. So I will link this free business plan template as well. Lots of examples. There's also AI that can help you with the templates. Oh, there's so much now that we didn't have. And if you're stuck, before I say that, even though there is so much more now that we didn't have, there's also so much more competition now. So you gotta stand out, bitch. But if you're stuck, start with the big lists of low investment, small business ideas, or just online business ideas. popular business opportunities to get inspired. So many articles to just go on tangents with. Let's see this one. 64 small business ideas for extra income in 2024. I'm just gonna spit out a few. Design and sell print on demand t-shirts, sell a service, affiliate marketing programs, house and pet sittings, tutors, personal assistants, dog walkers, Airbnb hosts, selling baked goods, house cleaner, car wash, drop shipping business, building an audience you can monetize, childcare, becoming a handy person, a life coach, a consultant, newsletters, bicycle repair, launching your own book, creating digital products or online courses, test app development, online coffee shop, what? Social media management consultant, resume writing services, translator, travel planner, virtual assistant, coding, data entry, content creator, selling digital products, charitable businesses. So, oh my God, I need, fuck, so much breath. So I will link that as well. If any of those sparked your fancy, there are so many small business ideas for extra income in 2024. So get inspired. Next, you'll decide how to bring that new business idea to life. Make, manufacture, or resell. Let me say that again. Are you making your products? Who's manufacturing your products? Are you reselling products? So now let's develop the product. You may decide to make a product with your own hands or develop one in a partnership with a manufacturer, perhaps a print on demand company. We'll tell you what all that stuff is, or a private label partner. So you want to sell something that's ready to go? Go ahead and jump to selling an existing product. But let's start with products to make or manufacture. There's so many lists of unique business ideas to discover. Things that you can manufacture from scratch. There's so many articles, how to start a small business at home, things to make and sell, easy and profitable crafts to make, the most profitable digital products. So all these motherfucking links, you guys, the description of this episode is going to have your hands full with research. I want you to click on these blogs. I want you to print them out, staple them, put them all on your bedside, scan these over before you go to bed and manifest that shit in your sleep. Okay. So print on demand ideas. Print on demand is the process of working with a company to turn your designs into merchandise like t-shirts, jewelry, or mugs and shipping them directly to your customers. This is a quick and low investment way to start your business. Research print-on-demand companies to find the right fit for your business idea. Google is your daddy, baby. So many print-on-demand companies. We use Printful. That's who we use. Okay. My computer's starting to overheat. Let me close all these glorious tabs. Close. Okay, if you have a solid idea and no experience with manufacturing, private label, or white label models, you want to work with an experienced manufacturer, okay? They can customize generic products to your brand's specifications. And there are a number of private label and white label product ideas to consider, from fitness equipment to cosmetics. So selling an existing product. If you're looking to get up and running quickly, selling an existing product is a great option. You can decide to drop ship or curate and resell products from other brands. Just like when you find stuff thrifting and yard selling, throwing it up online. Product ideas to drop ship. Drop shipping is a huge business model. It involves selling existing products on your own online store without handling any inventory or shipping. This is basically what a ton of Amazon sellers are doing. You buy something off Amazon and the seller has already shipped that product to an Amazon fulfillment center and Amazon is drop shipping it straight to you fast and quick. And the seller of that Amazon store gets a cut from that order. So it's an order from your customer will be fulfilled and shipped by the vendor or manufacturer, skipping you as the middleman. So you can get started with drop shipping by finding a product and a drop shipping partner. There are millions of videos, maybe not millions, maybe hundreds of thousands of how to find these products to drop ship. Most of the time, full disclosure, they're being manufactured in China and you're buying in bulk and reselling for double or triple, if not quadruple, here in the States. So a tip is that you can also drop ship white label products, giving you the benefits of both a branded product and low lift business model. So if you create your own cosmetics company or create a product, you could still list the item. I'm using Amazon as an example. If you get the product approved there to sell, then you can ship them all to that fulfillment center and have them drop ship them. I've been reached out by tons of companies via Shopify that were like, hey, we'll house all your, you know, items, the dildos, the knives, the tobacco products, and we will drop ship them for you. So when we have orders, basically I'm paying a shipping team to fulfill them elsewhere. Now for me, I never did that because I like adding handwritten notes or adding little stickers and freebies. And you can negotiate with these companies and they can include that sort of stuff for you. You can tell them, hey, I want it packaged in this type of packaging, but it's going to come with a hefty fee. So I decided not to do that. So let's move on to curation or resale ideas. Another way to start a business without your own products is through curation or resale. So some lifestyle and fashion brands will curate collections from a number of vendors or designers, buying inventory upfront. In this case, you'll be responsible for inventory management and shipping. So to find brands to work with, browse wholesale marketplaces. Resale business models are popular with antique collectibles or vintage clothing. So there's tons of vintage wholesalers online now, you guys. You can buy vintage in bulk from these huge warehouses. You can pick what style you want of clothing, or if you want like all, you know, Levi jeans, you buy in bulk and then you can resell all them individually. Starting a side business. What if you just want to dip a toe into entrepreneurship? Just one toe. Starting a side hustle that is running your own business alongside your full-time job is a low-risk way to test the waters and make supplementary income. But don't quit your day job, hoes. Instead, just browse a list of passive income ideas and businesses that let you make money from home. I'll link all those ideas below, babe. Monetizing your social media following. Building an audience can be one of the most challenging parts of starting a business. Trust me, I have lost audiences and had to rebuild them over and over and over again. So if you already have grown your fan base on social media, let's monetize that. The hard part's already done. So online tools make it easier than ever to monetize the audience. Drill down to your platform of choice for creator-friendly business ideas. So more links ahead, how to make money on Instagram, easy ways to make money on TikTok, monetize your YouTube channel or Twitch. A lot of the times merch is involved with these things. So we love hearing success stories about people who, especially on TikTok, they just are honest and authentic and talk to the camera. Then they build this whole audience and then they make a t-shirt, you know, and now they can feed their family. It's crazy. So let's start in a specific industry. If you've already honed in on a product of interest, it's important to understand the nuances of that industry. If yours is below, click through the corresponding guides that are all tailored. So we have so many industries: clothing, how to start a clothing line, t-shirts, how to start a successful t-shirt business, jewelry, candles, food and drink, stickers, how to make and sell stickers online, home furniture, plants, art, books, pets, skincare. This blog has step-by-step guides for specific industries. So ensure that you understand any legal constraints or requirements specific to your industry before going all in. And that's where we jump to operations later. Number two, research your product and audience. Now that you have a killer idea, it's time to validate it. Your product or business idea may excite you, but it's only worth pursuing if there's an audience, future customers that are looking for it. There are many ways to do your research upfront before you start investing. You can look for gaps in the market, you can find an undeserved audience, run a focus group, and investigate your competition. So finding your target audience or target market refers to a group of potential customers for your brand. This is the group you'll eventually aim all your marketing efforts and dollars towards. As a result, it's critical to define them as thoroughly as possible. So identifying and getting to know your target audience is important because it helps you make a smart and cost-effective marketing decisions. It influences your product development because you have a direct line of feedback, and it increases your revenue by focusing your efforts on the most promising customers. So building buyer personas is an effective method for drilling down into your ideal customers' needs. So how old are they? What do they love? On which social media platforms do they spend the most time? And what's important to them?
you're going to want to conduct a little bit of market research, or you can just go into it blindly like I did. Market research, however, is the process of gathering data about the potential customers or the market for your brand, and it surely can validate that you're on the right track or inform you that you need to make a shift. So conduct market research through surveys, focus groups, and interviews. That's why sometimes you see on people's stories these like little forms people can fill out, and you like add your email at the end, those little Google forms. But market analysis is a similar concept, but involves researching the industry as a whole and combining all the insights that you can get directly from your target audience. You want to understand market trends. What are long-term customer trends? The sustainability. What does search volume look like for your product within your demographic? What buyer trends are emerging? What social media channels do your target market hang out on? What are the emerging trends on these platforms? Are there social and political factors that could impact the market? And what trend forecasting is available for your industry to help you understand the direction of it? Now let's analyze the competition. Understanding the competitive landscape can ensure that you're setting your brand apart in the industry. This exercise will help you clearly define your unique selling proposition, USP, which is the benefit that your product offers over that of your competitors. So explore the in-depth resources that will be linked, how to do a competitive analysis, example templates, what is competitive intelligence, all sorts of guides there. Number three, let's calculate your startup costs, because once you've validated that there's an audience hungry for your product and you've nailed your value prop, it's time to talk money. Your business will be viable if you have the funding to get it off the ground and you can identify a price that'll turn a profit. So writing a business plan. A business plan is a document you can use to help you secure funding from a bank or venture capital firm. But even if you're not seeking outside funding, a business plan forces you to answer important questions about how you will run your business. It includes everything from your mission statement to your financials. And here are 7 business plan writing tips. 1, know your audience. 2, have a clear goal. 3, invest time and research. 4, keep it short and to the point. 5, keep the tone, style, and voice consistent. 6, use business plan software. And 7, check out other business plan examples. Now, I still don't have no fucking business plan. Bitch, my business plan is ran on intuition. So if being all organized like that isn't for you, you may not be getting funding from a bank or anything. But I used my own funds and patted myself on the back the whole way. All right, calculating startup costs. What does it really cost to start a business? Because it depends on so many factors, such as whether or not you have the inventory or if you need to lease a space. Much of the money spent in the first year consists of reinvesting profits back into the business, not spending out of pocket. And this is called bootstrapping. You can learn more as we move along. Because let me tell you, all my funds for my business still go back into my business. Shit's crazy, you guys. I have leased a space. I have not leased a space. So if you're starting small, maybe start at home first. Maybe consider reinvesting your profits and not giving yourself a salary for the first year, and maybe not the first 10 years like me. All right, accounting for all business costs. Your startup costs in the first year will help you cover everything from setting up a website to buying inventory to running your first paid ads, if you get approved to run ads, because if you are in an 18 and up industry, you will get denied to be able to exist on advertising platforms. Keep that in mind. And it is harder to compete when you can't pay for ads, because all these algorithms, y'all know, they want people to come on there and pay for ads. Okay. Here's what business owners reported as the breakdown of their spending in the first year. 11% operating, 10% marketing, 9% online, 30% product, 8% shipping, 18% team, and 10% offline. Tip, don't forget to consider unexpected costs like business insurance, taxes, legal fees, and shipping costs. Oy vey. I paid for business insurance for many years, and then one year I was like, I really don't need this if it's in my house and it's protected. But then a hurricane came and shit got wet. So pick and choose your battles, but saving for taxes is probably the most important, so you don't get blindsided, and having a good accountant or CPA that can help you be aware for what costs are coming in the tax department. Maybe you need to pay quarterly taxes to get ahead. And shipping costs, I try to put that cost into the product price so that I don't get, you know, surprised when things cost so much. Because if you want to ship overseas, sometimes those labels are $20, $30, $40. So conducting a break-even analysis. A break-even analysis is the process of determining at what point your business or product becomes profitable. It's a financial calculation used to determine the number of products you need to sell to cover your production costs. There are several benefits to conducting a break-even analysis. It helps you make smart decisions about product pricing. It can help mitigate risk and eliminate surprise. It sets informed targets for your business, and it can identify any missing expenses. So determining these profit margins is so important, you guys, especially incorporating how much taxes are going to be at the end of the year. A profit margin is the measure of a business's profitability expressed as a percentage. Your profit margin will depend on the industry you're in, the retail price ranges set by the market, and your costs. So you may have a lower profit margin if you're selling a high volume of goods, like digital art prints or stickers, or a high profit margin if you sell luxury products. Maybe you're reselling them. All right, you guys still with me? When it comes to pricing your products, you really want to know how to price because it can be tricky. And with a few basic calculations, you can confidently set prices that make sense. So in a nutshell, there are three steps to setting prices. One, add up your variable costs or the costs that change depending on the amount of product you produce. Two, add a profit margin. And three, don't forget about the fixed costs or the consistent costs to do business that aren't affected by how much you produce. Think office space, lease, or utilities. So as you're setting your prices, consider common pricing strategies like competitive pricing, value-based pricing, or keystone pricing. Each strategy has its pros and cons, and not all will be right for your unique business. Now, bootstrapping your business. It's the process of starting a business with little or no money and investing the products back into the business as it grows. This method of funding may be slower growth, but it also minimizes risk and debt, which is why I highly encourage to kind of use what you got because you got more than you know. And some businesses are easier to bootstrap than others. Low investment ideas like drop shipping or print on demand require no inventory and are great candidates for this method. But other small business owners use personal savings to cover startup costs before the bootstrapping growth. So it's important to have a solid business plan in case you decide to seek additional funding later. Now let's talk about sourcing products. I get this question a lot. This is number four we're at, you guys. Sourcing products. I get asked, where do you buy your inventory? And sometimes you don't want to give away them secrets, but by now you've validated your product idea, your business plan is locked, and you're ready to bring it to life. So you got to get creative, and we're going to go through a few options to make, manufacture, or source your product so you can get ready to start selling. So making or manufacturing a product, if it's a handmade item, you can get it up and running by setting up an appropriate space in your home to create. Maybe it's your garage, the extra space, or maybe you convert a room into like an office or co-op. But be sure to check the legal requirements for setting up a home-based business, especially if you're selling food or cosmetic items. There's generally rules around ventilation and other safety protocols. You might have to get an inspection. So if your product is designed to be produced in a third-party facility, you'll likely need to source a manufacturing partner. A good manufacturer is one who understands your industry, knows packaging and labeling laws specific to your product or market, and can be a true partner in your business. You know, like if you're slinging granola bars or something, I don't know. Some manufacturers will be part of the product development process and advise you on the best practices to get your finished product done. Now for me, when I started bedazzling things to sell on Etsy, oh my God, you guys, I was buying silicone phone cases and putting studs in them. I was getting denim jackets at Goodwill and bleaching them. You know, these are all things that I could do and create in my house. And you can ask your CPA how much of your rent and your utilities you can write off if your business is in your home too. Now, finding a supplier. If you've opted to sell existing products, you'll need to research suppliers or other brands that you can source them from. So quickly,
the 13 best drop shipping suppliers in 2024. You ready for this? AliExpress, Alibaba, SaleWho, Worldwide Brands, Douba, Sunrise Wholesale, Wholesale 2B, Mega Goods, Wholesale Central, Modelist, Spocket, CJ Dropping, CROV. I tell y'all to bring your notebook to every episode. 11 best print-on-demand companies and sites in 2024. Printful. That was the one I recommended, y'all. Printify. Gooten. Appalique. Gelato. SPOD. T-Launch. Custom Cat. T-Pop. JetPrint. And AOP Plus. How to find wholesale suppliers in 2024. There are lots of reputable wholesale suppliers, and this article suggests Alibaba and AliExpress, DHgate, EK Wholesale, Fair, Wholesale Central, IndiaMart. There are so many, so vet which one feels right to you. Number five, figuring out your shipping strategy. Shipping is often cited by small business owners as one of the most challenging aspects of getting started. Luckily, the tools aimed at simplifying this task keep getting better. So e-commerce platforms like Shopify consolidate rates to help you make informed shipping decisions. They also have app integrations that we talked about that can solve specific shipping issues or help make you easily manage your inventory as well, like an inventory management system. So we use the ShipStation app, super affordable, like $20 a month. I love that I can combine orders, add order notes. I can tag by color which orders are priority shipping so I know to ship them first. All sorts of customization. I can customize my packing slips so I can add discount codes to them. Things that the Shopify basic shipping doesn't necessarily have, but I like that Shopify does have a shipping system incorporated within the platform if you just want something easy and immediately wanting to get started.
10 seconds is on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your subscriber count, maybe his you know what. Well, how about businesses on Shopify? When I started podcasting, an online store was the farthest thing from my mind. Now I'm selling my ebooks, merchandise, and audiobooks for my listeners, and it's so easy, all because I use Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit $1 million order stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. So whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. When I utilized Shopify's App Store, I realized I could make my product fulfillment so much easier. Instead of manually emailing my customers their e-purchases, I could simply install an app that would automatically fulfill their orders, and it was free. Now I have an automation in place that requests their feedback after the purchase is delivered so I can continue to grow as an author and educator. And what I love about Shopify is no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control of your business and take it to the next level. Their marketing features make my holiday email campaigns a breeze. I no longer have to outsource so many tasks because Shopify helps me automate them. And when you're a business owner, every expense counts. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US, and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way, because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. So sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/slutchpreneur, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/slutchpreneur now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/slutchpreneur. Also in the episode description.
So setting up shipping and fulfillment. When deciding a shipping strategy for your business, you'll need to decide how you want to handle order fulfillment. For many business owners, that means personally packaging and shipping orders one by one, unless you choose a drop shipping or print on demand model. Now, managing your own fulfillment in the early days helps you really understand the aspects of your business. So I highly suggest understanding this, trust me. And again, it's so much easier now than it used to be, but I will say shipping rates are also a whole lot higher than they used to be. Like when Black Friday came, I finally realized that I could batch ship. So if 100 people bought this one necklace, I could print all the labels and the packing slips at the same time and quickly get out those 100 orders versus shipping them one by one. So really enjoyed the batching that ShipStation had, but a ton of shipping softwares have that as well. Now, as you grow, you may decide to outsource shipping and fulfillment. Shipping might slow you down and you might outsource it to a third party 3PL logistics company. Trust me, they'll start reaching out to you, but research different fulfillment services to see which is right for growing your business. And shipping cost is often a factor in a customer's decision to buy from your business. Are you the type of person that will only buy stuff if it's free shipping, or does that encourage you to buy? So you can decide to offer free shipping maybe at a threshold, or you can build the cost into the retail price, which is what I like to do. So if you're passing on the cost, take steps to keep these costs as low as possible. Here are some ways to reduce shipping costs. All right. Reduce the weight of packages by using poly mailers instead of cardboard, if applicable. Choosing the right sized packaging for the product. Using flat rate shipping when possible. Using Shopify shipping to cut carrier costs. Knowing when rates change so you can adjust accordingly, which is usually in January. Offering local delivery or pickup as an alternative for in-town customers. So take advantage of those ways to reduce the shipping costs. And you definitely want to understand international shipping. Whew, if you plan to ship internationally, keep in mind that there are a few more steps involved. First, be sure that your products are legal in their country of destination, that you adhere to labeling and packaging requirements in those places, and that you know how to complete customs paperwork. Duties and taxes are often the responsibility of the customer upon the arrival of the package, but you can elect to make those fees transparent at checkout by collecting them up front. And Shopify has all these features to customize that. You can enter the customs code in the product page so that it automatically is filled out on the customs form at shipping, which is really nice. Managing inventory. If you're working with a fulfillment service or using a drop shipping or print on demand model, inventory management is usually handled entirely by this partner. Otherwise, keeping inventory organized ensures that you can make informed decisions about production and stock reorders and avoid customer disappointment. So here are top-rated inventory apps in the Shopify store. These apps can integrate with your e-commerce store to automate tasks and low stock notifications. So just to name a few, Inventory Planner Forecasting, SKU Labs, Stocky, Back in Stock Restock Alerts, all sorts of things. Sync Logic, Ink Frog for eBay. These are going to be very exciting apps and tools to use. So, forecasting, you want to look into Cartbyte, optimization, maybe look into real-time stock sync and bundling, tracking, syncing, replenish, stock alerts, all it's a rabbit hole, you guys. Number six, developing a brand strategy and brand identity. You guys hang in there with me. Aside from a unique product or exemplary service, your brand is the driving force behind a customer's decision to buy from you. Your brand is more than a business name or a logo. It is a guiding set of principles and design specifications that tell your story, create consistency, and build trust. A branding exercise will create the foundation upon which you make creative decisions for your brand as you grow. So as you build your brand, be sure to consider all these components. The basics. Who are you? What do you sell? What do you stand for? Like a mission statement, brand values, and brand promise. Your unique selling proposition. Why customers should choose you over the competition. And your brand story, sometimes one and the same with your personal story. Your brand voice, the tone and language used consistently in your brand communication. And your visual brand identity, logo, style guide, and brand name. To develop your brand strategy, answer questions like, how do you want your customers to feel when they interact with your brand? What's important to you? Like giving back, excellent customer service, fair wages for staff. Your customers want to know this stuff. What colors and design styles appeal to you and represent the mood you're trying to achieve? These answers will help you inform the rest of your branding exercise. Next, you want to brainstorm business names and domain names. Y'all have heard me preach about this because it's so important that you research any potential business name to see if it's already used, especially in your the spicy side when you're coming up with your sex worker name. So you definitely want to research this and avoid confusion or legal issues, and check if social media handles and the domain names are available. Once you've landed on a name that's unique, secure it by setting up social profiles and registering the domain. I use GoDaddy.com for all my .coms. Establishing your brand voice and story. Your brand voice is how your business speaks to customers in the world. It incorporates decisions around the tone, personality, brand vocabulary, and slang. So defining your distinct brand voice is very important. Builds trust, sparks recognition, creates connection, and ensures consistency. All right, designing a visual identity. Your visual identity encompasses anything that impacts your customers, your logos, fonts, your website photography, color choices. Keep it simple, create variations, consider context, and I suggest using Canva to create this, you know, imagery and bringing your brand to life. All right, number 7, build and launch your website. At this stage, you've secured a product, you're committed to the brand. Now it's time to assemble all that hard work into a website and introduce it to the world. There are several e-commerce website builders on the market, and you'll need to weigh out the website costs, which is why I always just go with Shopify. They have a theme store with over 100 themes to choose from, and you can rearrange the layout of your homepage. You can have an About Us page, product page, landing page, so many things. So launching your business. You did it. You got the website up. There's still a few steps left to get the business fully up and running, but you're at the place where you can soft launch your website to the world. And this is a critical phase in your journey where you can do a stress test on your website, gather customer feedback, and tweak before the grand opening. So before you launch your website, you thought of everything, make sure you do the 14-point e-commerce checklist to ensure that you have checked all the boxes. The checklist goes as such. Do you have your sales channel? Do you have a domain? Reviewed the checkout experience? Build your website essential pages, review your automated emails, conduct a content audit, set up analytics and tracking, brush up on SEO, optimize all the images on your website, build a pre-launch marketing plan, set your tax and shipping rates, review your customer contact options, install helpful apps and integrations, set up your billing information, and get your back office in order. All right. Number 8, register your business. Depending on your country or regions where you do business, you may be subject to a set of rules that govern how you manufacture, market, and ship your products. So you'll need to decide on a business structure. In some cases, you'll need to officially register your business. So check your local government agency to ensure you're doing the business above board. Deciding on a business structure. There are several types of business structures or legal structures and entities to consider, but before you land on one, it's important to understand the characteristics of each. For example, do you know the difference between a limited liability company, an LLC, and a sole proprietorship? Is a C-Corp right for you? These are questions to also ask your accountant or CPA. So you can dive into the resources on this blog. We have how to start a LLC, the guide to sole proprietor business structure, forming a C-Corp, a B-Corp, or an S-Corp, limited liability partnerships for benefits, and DBA. What is doing business as? So that last one, a DBA, is very important because I'm someone who will go on a tangent and just start a business, but it umbrellas my business. So for example, my LLC encompasses the many e-commerce businesses I have. So if I want to form a new e-commerce business, I just form a new DBA, doing business as under my umbrella of an LLC and saves me tons of money in forms and filing, but always make sure you are doing it correctly. So registering a business with the government and IRS. In some cases, you may need to officially register your business to get it up and running. For example, in Canada, small businesses making a certain threshold in revenue are not required to officially register or collect and submit sales tax. However, there are perks to registering your business with the CRA, the Canada Revenue Agency, up front, such as benefiting from certain protections. And in the US, the requirements to get a business license can vary state to state, and in some cases, you may not need one. If you do need a business license, be sure you have the following before starting your application. Owner name, contact info, business name, contact info, employer identification number or equivalent, any required permits, any required forms or paperwork, and associated fees with filing the paperwork. Depending on your business structure and size, you may also need to register with the IRS in order to collect sales tax and submit it at tax time, which is literally what I hate doing, but I have a reminder every quarter to submit my sales tax. I still hate doing it. Oh my God, just thinking about it makes me want to cry. All right, securing business insurance. It's important to protect yourself and your business and your employees in the event of unexpected hardship. Consider all the possible scenarios that could grind your business to a halt, including natural disasters, health issues among staff, a bad batch of product, or even a lawsuit. Purchasing an insurance policy is the best protection. There are several types of business insurance to consider. Those include commercial property insurance, workers' comp insurance, professional liability insurance, product liability insurance, and business interruption insurance, to name a few. Understand the features of each of these, see if they apply to you. You may be interested in a business owner's policy, which bundles many of the above types of coverage together. So depending on the business structure, you may or may not be subject to personable liability and legal matters pertaining to your business. This would normally be covered by professional liability insurance. However, before you purchase an insurance policy, talk to a pro to see if personal liability protection is necessary for you. You also may want to implement other types of protections as you grow, like offering employee health insurance alongside fair and competitive wages. It's a great way to attract and retain talent. Registering a trademark or filing for a patent can legally protect your intellectual property, like an invention or your business name. And writing and posting a set of terms and conditions that protect your company by outlining to customer what is legally required of them if they use your service. All right. Number 9, managing your money. The key to a successful business can usually boil down to finding the right product for the right market at the right time, but sustaining that success depends on so many other things happening behind the scenes. When you have a good handle on your finances, you're ensuring that you're not overspending and that you have a safety net if your luck changes. Open a business bank account. It's going to allow you to build a good relationship with your bank and have long-term financial success. Explore the various business banking products like business credit cards available on the market to determine which suits your needs. And when choosing the right bank for your business, ask questions like, is this bank small business friendly? What's the reputation of this bank in the market? Does it offer solutions and financial advice tailored to my industry? What's the fee structure offered by the bank? Do they have overdraft protection? Does the bank have a hassle-free loan process? Can I do wire transfers to my manufacturers? Things like that. So managing your finances and your business plan, that handy document you created in step 2 should also include a financial plan. If you've already completed this step, it's time to put it into action. And if not, consult some of the resources below to get started. All right, balance sheets. A balance sheet lists your business's assets, liabilities, and shareholder equity. Balance sheets offer a quick glance at how much your business is worth after all liabilities or debts and shareholder payouts are accounted for. Income statements. An income statement or earnings statement or profit and loss calculates revenue minus expenses to tell you how much your business is earning. Trust me, if you sell something for $40, it's not $40. You gotta really be prepared for everything that's going in to sell that product. What is your net on that? And that's the income statement's really going to help with. They're usually prepared monthly, quarterly, or annually, depending on your business. I use QuickBooks. They create these little profit and loss statements for me, which are really handy dandy. All right. Cash flow statement, CFS, is a financial statement that summarizes the in and out cash transactions during a given period. This statement gives founders a detailed picture of the cash position of the company. Managing cash flow is essential to ongoing financial health, guys. Now, choosing the small business accounting software, QuickBooks is just best in the game. Many businesses will swear by just a simple spreadsheet to manage this, but I ain't no spreadsheet girly. And that method's perfectly fine if that's what you do. But if you want more functionality, automation, consider different accounting tools on the market. Now, a professional accountant can help you navigate the ins and outs of your business accounting, including advising you on accounting software and preparing you for tax time. I can just give my CPA my QuickBooks login so he can see exactly the ins and outs of bitch everything. Paying business tax. You want to be ready for tax time. You need to know your business tax deadlines. And remember that you can offset many types of purchases as tax deductions. Now, there are so many. Here's just a non-exhaustive list of those items. But shipping costs, workspace rent, fees for professional services, website fees, travel expenses. So check with your accountant before writing off any expense and all the rules around what could qualify. Now, charging tax. Should your business be charging sales tax for online purchases? The answer is not simple, and it's taken me years. I still question this, but this depends on a number of factors: where you're running your business, where your customer's located, the types of good you sell. And once you've determined that you should be charging sales tax, you'll need to apply for a sales tax permit or a tax number, an EIN, to set tax rates in your online store and collect taxes from eligible purposes, and then remit those taxes at tax time. So set collected taxes aside in a separate business bank account so that they remain untouched until tax time and do not get lumped in with your earnings. Number 10, marketing your business. Oh my gosh, marketing is everything. It's reported as one of the most challenging aspects of running your own business, but it's also the area where you'll spend much time and your budget. Some people who start a business are just not marketers. They don't want to put their face in front of things. So I'm going to give you some ideas if you're not like an influencer. It's just maybe you don't have time to do that. But launching a successful website requires ongoing campaigns to actively drive traffic to it and convert those visitors into buyers. So you can create a marketing plan and have a strategy. But if you're stuck staring at a blank page, you can browse examples of marketing plans and best practices for increasing traffic to get you inspired. But let's dive into different marketing tactics and see what inspires you to make your first sale. So you can invest in organic marketing, which is just marketing efforts that don't cost anything. So your social media algorithms, as they change and you get more competition, organic traffic is going to get really hard to get. Oh, it's hard. But there's still clever ways to attract customers on a small budget. You can take pre-orders, do giveaways, offer discount codes, have a grand opening event, do content marketing like creating blogs or videos, and understand search engine optimization, SEO. Offer affiliate programs. That's what I was going to suggest. If you don't want to put your face out there, find people's faces that want to put themselves out there. And proactively engage in your social communities, in the comment section, in your DMs, and so many different ways with running little contests and stuff to, you know, share this, to enter, you know, have people do the marketing for you. You can explore marketing channels. There are several channels you can market a project, but what's right for you? The best place is to start in the channel where you already feel most comfortable and test each to see which gives you the best return on your efforts and spend. For example, email marketing, Google, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok. Gosh, there's so many, all those rabbit holes of tips on how to use all those channels. Maybe Twitter, YouTube, Reddit, Snapchat, Pinterest, Twitch. Building a content strategy, blogs, written content, video, podcasts, virtual courses and tutorials, social media content, infographics, visual content, ebooks, so many ideas. Now, understanding your conversion rate optimization. Your CRO is a set of marketing tactics for increasing your conversion. So this is the percentage of your traffic that actually makes a purchase on your website. So through decision choices, design, efficiency improvements, testing, you can encourage more visitors to take action and actually hit checkout and pay. So you want to simplify your website, add testimonials, use high quality images, optimize your thank you emails, offer free shipping, optimize page load times. I really take pride on my website. I go and make sure all the wording is very on brand and very just emotionally invested in the customer, because I feel like so many websites all look the same and you really want to stand out. All right, let's move on to growing your business. You guys ready? By now, your small business should be a well-oiled machine. Your product photos are on point, you're building online communities, and you've nailed your fulfillment process. So you're hopefully making regular sales and taking some time for yourself too, which I don't know what that feels like. But take a moment to celebrate your wins if you made it this far. You successfully turned a kernel of an idea into a living, breathing small business, baby. So what's next? You may decide to stay small. I encourage that one. But dedicating yourself to building relationships with your loyal customer base and managing everything solo, or shoot for the moon. And honestly, if you do, just roll with it. Expand. I mean, I'm so happy I did, but it also taught me that I wanted to stay intentionally small because I'm a leader. I'm not a boss. I don't like managing people, but anyways, here, let's just touch on a few steps of growing the business and seeking additional funding to hiring and managing staff, if that's the way you go. But it's going to get crazy. Maybe hire someone to do that for you if you don't want to do it. Monitoring and adjusting. Before you scale, assess the health of your business through a number of means. The results of this assessment will give you the confidence to scale your business and inform how you will do so. Check in on your key performance indicators. When you started your business, you set KPIs, specific metrics that measure your performance toward your business goal. So setting these is important, but tracking them is even more so. How does your performance stack up? Get feedback from your customers. Your loyal customers are stakeholders in your business in the same way investors are. They're betting on you with their money. So take a pulse on customer sentiment with surveys or analysis of your customer support load. Conduct a business review. You can take a bird's eye view of your business at any time or set quarterly or yearly reviews. Assess your financial health, progress towards goals, and positions in the market. I remember I'd take vacations with my employees to conduct business reviews and just write that off. That was really fun at the time until some of them fucked me over. Whoo. Getting funded 2.0. You may have started your business with a personal investment and bootstrapping, but if your plans are bigger, you might need to seek business funding. Additional funding can help you open a brick and mortar business, hire employees, or develop new products. So before you get started, update your business plan, gather your financial statements, write and practice your elevator pitch. Y'all, the elevator pitch is so important. When people ask me what I do, I still stutter sometimes and need to remember my elevator pitch. It's something you can explain what your business is in the time you would be in an elevator with someone. You may want to find a business mentor to help you prepare your pitch to polish your business plan. There are so many small business loans available. They can be found from major banks, credit unions, or alternative lenders, but it's important to review your options available and decide which best suits your needs first. Look at those interest rates. More importantly, find small business grants or hire someone to find them for you. They're offered by so many types of organizations, and these really embody the organization's purpose and add value to a particular community. So with that in mind, the criteria for each grant varies widely. Maybe you're a woman-run business, maybe a POC-run business, but small business grants and loans, you don't have to pay back the money you're granted. However, there may be some non-monetary expectations that you're required to meet. Now, crowdfunding. Crowdfunding involves running a private campaign, usually through a crowdfunding provider, to raise money for your business in advance of its launch, a growth milestone, or a new product. And these funds come from the general population. They do not need to be paid back, but brands often offer incentives like the products, memberships, swag, shout out, etc. There is a lovely sex worker that is creating It's like a sex worker, like Monopoly game. And I know she did a crowdfunding for it. So I'm super excited about that. So growing your team and to meet your long-term business growth goals, you may not be able to wear every hat forever. As you grow, focus on the aspects of running the business that you like the most and outsource the ones you don't like. Delegate those, you guys. There's some three main ways to get some tasks off your plate, and they don't all have to be in person. You can find bot apps to automate your processes. These apps can do everything from sending customer communication, generating financial reports, freeing you up to do so much more. But soon you might need human help, and especially if you need to offload manual tasks, maybe shipping. But if your brand guidelines don't include any philosophy around hiring, it still serves as great jumping off point to hone in on what qualities you're looking for in new hires. So if you're not ready to set up payroll or manage employees, because that's a whole headache too, outsourcing is another way to increase your human power without cloning yourself. Freelancers, virtual assistants, and contract employees are all options for growing businesses. I still have such a wonderful, fabulous relationship with my virtual assistant. Now, selling in international markets. Another way to grow your brand is to expand in other markets. That might be finding new audiences within your existing sales markets or selling across borders. Before diving headfirst into global e-commerce, be sure to do your homework. Each country will have specific set of regulations, so seek advice of a lawyer before you sell in or in warehouses abroad, you guys. Whew. So, what do you guys think? Are you ready to start selling? I hope, even if you are a business owner, maybe this brought you some new ideas or things you need to go back and tighten up, but you've did it. You've achieved boss status. You're already on your way to your next big goal. And along the way, I hope you gathered knowledge and learned from some of my mistakes to help your business be the best it can be. The most exciting part is you are building a lifestyle around your passion. So enjoy the ride and please take care of yourself. If you do not fill up your gas tank, you cannot keep going. Now, I highly encourage you to click the link to this blog in the episode description. You will find so much more information that's just going to fine-tune everything. I wish you guys all the success, all the monies. You're going to do great. You're going to kill it. All right. Love you guys. I'll see you next week. Bye-bye. Thank you for listening to another episode of the Professional Goddess Podcast. If you want to keep the show going and growing, make sure to leave a 5-star review. Shop my merch and ebooks at professionalgoddess.com. Make sure to use code SLUT at checkout for a little surprise. My book, Slutpreneur Secrets, is now available on Amazon. Have a question, episode request, or want to be a guest on the show? Email my team via management@professionalgoddess.com. And lastly, if you want to get all up inside me, subscribe to my premium content on OnlyFans at professionalslut.com. All these links and other socials will be in the show notes of the episode. But most importantly, thank you for subscribing to the show, and I will talk to you next week. Bye, sluts.